Hey everyone, welcome to the official podcast. This is episode 2 for January 23rd, 2012. I am your host, Justin Guthrow, also known as J-Thro, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host, Robert Hamer, a.k.a. Bub.
Howdy folks, how's everyone doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine.
Well, that is fantastic. On tonight's podcast, we're going to be talking about the new changes we've made to the podcast. Because
mm-hmm. Any changes?
Yeah, after episode 1, we asked for some feedback, and we got some. So this is actually one of the things is outlining the podcast in the beginning. So what we're going to be talking about this podcast is the new changes to the podcast. We're going to be talking about our new current games that we're playing. We're also going to be touching on my personal living situation and how that's going to be changing. We're also going to lightly touch on the PlayStation Vita set to launch next month in February. Mm-hmm. And we're going to be introducing a new addition to the show called Raging with Bub. Raging with Bub. We will talk more on that later on when we get to it.
All right, so what kind of changes have we have you tinkered with over there on the tech end of all this?
Well, first of all, like I said, we're starting to outline the podcast in the beginning of the show, just to give the listeners a general idea of where we're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
One of the other changes is, if you're listening to it right now, you'll probably know that we are now coming in stereo. And instead of, like, if you're listening on headphones, it used to be I come in through one ear and just...
And then I come in through the other.
Yeah, exactly. And now we should be coming in both ears all the time.
Ooh, that sounds sexy.
Yeah, so it's more Bub and Justin in your ear.
Yes. Well,
some other changes we still haven't finalized yet is we're going to be trying to add some music to the beginning of the show and the end of the show, and we're also going to maybe add a little bit of music at the beginning of Raging with Bub. But that's something we're still working on. I'm trying to find a suitable program right now. Yes, I know you will. You've been bugging about it for weeks.
I know. Yeah, get some music in front of Raging with Bub.
Yeah.
Ooh. Find the right tune would be kind of tough. Maybe something from Megas.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Other than that, we had some issues with sound quality in episode 1. I don't know why, but for some reason my voice wasn't coming in clearly. Should be fixed now, I'm hoping. We did multiple sound checks and multiple first attempts at this.
Yep. How you threw up.
One attempt that actually, Justin made me laugh so hard, I started having a coughing fit and I threw up all over my room.
And I said Pixar didn't happen, and he sent me a picture, and he did, all over his mini fridge, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, it's pretty gross.
so anyways, sick bastard.
Yeah. So anyways, yeah, that is our new changes to the podcast. We will once again ask for feedback when this episode launches, so please send us your feedback. Either post it to mine or Justin's Twitter, Facebook, or you can email theofficialpodcast@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
So on to our next topic, we are going to be talking about our current games. So Justin, why don't you go ahead and take that away?
Well, unlike you, I usually don't play like one or two games at a time. I'm kind of all over the place. So ever since the last podcast, I've played about maybe, I don't know, 5 to 7 different games, but I'm not going to go in all of them. I'll go ahead and I'll start with a game that I had a really high expectations for, and it really disappointed me. Ooh. Which is a game called Hydrophobia Prophecy for the PlayStation 3. And basically what that game is about is you play as this woman, you know, just your, you know, typical girl. There's nothing really special about her. And I don't even know where you live. You live in some sort of building, and I guess it's underwater. And then as you start to play, some terrorists, you know, start to blow up the place, and the building the whole city starts to become flooded. And, you know, I was playing with PlayStation Move, and it was my first game using PlayStation Move on, and the experience wasn't as smooth as I was hoping it would be.
It's too bad.
But, yeah, like, when you look at the cover for the game on the PlayStation Network, it shows this girl, and her one arm is glowing blue, and she's basically commanding this giant wave. And I'm thinking, oh, sweet, you actually get to control water with the PlayStation Move and, like, whip it around and snap it and all sorts of crap. Well, get this. The game is about maybe, you know, 6 to 7 hours long.
Okay.
You finally get the ability to control water probably about maybe 80, 85% through the game.
Well, that's disgusting.
It's very disgusting.
It's like one of the main selling points of the game, and yet you don't get it till the game's practically over.
Yep, that is the reason why I played it. I got it for free through PlayStation Plus, and I was like, oh man, you know, I'm actually going to take my time to play this game instead of all the other games that I have because I want to use my Move controller and whip some water around and drown people. And, you know, I'm playing. 1 hour goes by, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, and I'm just doing, you know, regular stuff, walking around. Oh, there's a guy. I better use my Move controller to very terribly aim my gun cursor and shoot him a couple times. Up, he went down. Time to go splash through some water until the next guy shows up. Really monotonous, boring stuff. You know, nothing very good about it at all. The dynamics of the water were actually pretty nice. But yeah, like once you actually get control of the water, it's pretty cool. Just kind of whipping it around and splashing people with it.
Yeah. What a great weapon water can be.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, once you get that, it's actually okay, and it can be fun. But like I said, it's a whole lot of really boring. Like, are you familiar with the Sci-Fi Channel and how it makes, you know, B-quality movies every Saturday?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It's like you're pretty much playing through a B-quality movie the entire time, waiting for the good thing to happen, and by the time it does happen, you just want to finish the game because you're done with it.
Oh, okay. I gotcha.
Yeah, so just really, really lackluster and, you know, eh. So, yeah.
Too bad.
So, yeah, really, really disappointed. But played that. Let's see. What else did I play that was just really, really good?
How about one that was really bad? Because I'm thinking of one that I'd love to hear you rage about this game.
Tomb Raider. I mean,
come on.
Well,
Tomb Raider.
Hydrophobia was supposed to be my bad game.
Okay, I don't think it can get much worse than Tomb Raider.
Oh, God. Okay, so I'm playing through Tomb Raider Underworld. It's a fairly old game, a couple years. I also got that free through PlayStation Plus. And I've never played a Tomb Raider game before, so I was kind of excited, you know. I'm a heterosexual male, so Lara Croft, you know, kind of sexy.
Yeah.
And so I'm playing through it, and at first it's okay. But right off the bat, I don't know if just something was wrong with my luck or something, but the game starts off with you jumping off of a boat into the ocean to go diving into this underwater temple.
Okay.
For some reason, I kid you not, for about 20 minutes, I kept jumping off the boat, and a yo-yo effect would happen where it would suck me underneath the boat, and I couldn't move. I would swim, and I would try to swim in every possible direction imaginable. And I just wouldn't move. I was constantly stuck underneath the boat. So I would have to throw grenades out to kill myself. And then I would jump back in the water and get yo-yoed right back under the boat. And I kid you not, this is pretty much right at the beginning of the game after the little, you know, very small intro part. So I'm already getting glitched and bugged and just thinking, wow, is this what this game's going to be? Just a pile of garbage right in my face?
That's terrible.
Yeah, so it was terrible. I stopped playing. I went back to it a couple days later, and thankfully I was actually able to dive in the water successfully this time. I don't know what I did differently, but it worked. And I started to play it. You know, it was okay. It's all about collecting treasures and just jumping from A to B. But, oh, my God, I don't know what is wrong with that woman, but she has really weird jumping disabilities. She has the biggest problems when it comes to grabbing on the ledges or jumping to the ledge that you want her to jump to. And it can be very, very frustrating. There's not very much action in the game, and when the action does happen, it's not that great. The most exciting and fun thing that's happened to me in this game, and I'm well over the halfway point, is at one point I was driving around on a motorcycle in the forest, and then a tiger jumps out of nowhere, and I accidentally jumped off the motorcycle, and I think I was on headset with you at the time, and I just started screaming like, holy shit, I'm getting chased by a tiger! And so I was just, you know, running, and then a second tiger jumps out, and then a third tiger jumps out, and I'm running around for my life being chased by tigers. I had no idea what to do, you know, and so that actually ended up being kind of fun. But, of course, it was done in a blink of an eye, and then it was back to jumping and climbing and jumping and climbing, and just really, really, ugh. And I've been playing this game on and off for about 2 weeks now, and there's a very good reason why I have not finished it yet.
And this has always been my theory about Tomb Raider games. The only reason people play it, I think, is for the sheer fact of seeing Lara Croft and her sexy ass body. If you replace Lara Croft with like an explorer guy, just like a regular old guy, like male, just average looking male, I don't think anyone would play the game. Like, wow, this game really sucks. I'm some guy that climbs rocks and occasionally gets chased by tigers.
Like, well, I mean, to an extent, I want to argue with you and say, well, that's Uncharted right there. You know, because you never played the Uncharted games, but, you know, that's what you're essentially doing. You're collecting treasure, you're jumping around, but there's a hell of a lot more action in Uncharted. Like, really good cinematography stuff. You got, you know, a bunch of guys always shooting at you and popping out of bushes. Really good characters.
Well, you actually get into gunfights in that game. I don't think you really get into gunfights in Tomb Raider, do you?
No, I think I might have shot. I think there might have been three people that I've encountered. Everything else has been, like, big lizards and bats.
Wow.
Yeah, so it for the longest time I felt like I was playing Pokemon, just, you know, walking through rock tunnel with Zubats flying over my head.
Yeah.
Very, I don't know, unoriginal and not very exciting.
Sounds like my ex-girlfriend.
Yeah.
Just kidding. I hope you're dead. Anyways, I personally, this is an accomplishment, beat my first game this year already, and I'm only in the first month of the new year with my new resolution.
That took me by surprise.
Shut up. That game being Kirby Squeak Squad for the Nintendo DS, and my
No fate. But you beat a game. You actually beat a game 100%.
I did. And I even got the picture that said 100% completion. This game is so much fun. It's one of those games you can just pick up, play a few stages, have a great time, put down, and pick it right back up where you left off and have a lot of fun. It's a great game. It's good old Kirby at his best. It's the best way to sum it up.
Yeah, who doesn't like a good Kirby game?
I know, right? And right now I'm actually playing through Kirby Amazing Mirror for the Nintendo Game Boy Advance, and this game I'm not liking as much because I don't have no idea what the hell I'm even supposed to be doing right now. I'm running around trying to figure out what I'm supposed to do next, and I can't figure it out. It is with Squeak Squad, it was very, you know, this is what you have to do, this is what you need to do, this is what's done, this is what's not done, and it's a lot of fun playing through that game. I gave it a 5 out of 5 on my blog. And
I'm actually really happy to hear you say that you played one Kirby game, loved it, and then now you're playing another Kirby game and you're not really liking it as much, because that shows that you're not the little Kirby fanboy that I always thought you were.
Oh yeah, and I'm not gonna throw a biased view at something just because it's got a character I enjoy in it. I'm almost debating. I'm really thinking about playing doing another playthrough on Kirby Superstar Ultra for the DS because bought that game back in 08 or 2009 maybe, I don't remember. But I played through it and I really don't remember anything about it. So I'm thinking about I'm going to play through it again and give that an accurate rating. And by the time I get through that, I'm hoping I can go out and buy Kirby Mass Attack, the newest DS game, and give that a playthrough because it looks really good. It's getting good reviews. I watched some gameplay videos on YouTube. Looks fun. Looks great. The music's supposed to be really good in this game. So.
Well, I'm just saying that if you don't give Superstar a 5 out of 5, I'm just going to just destroy you. That game was loads of fun when I played it back on Super Nintendo.
Oh, yeah, back on the Super Nintendo. I remember it was the best. The best of the best. So, so that's basically, let's see, earlier in the beginning of the year, I did start Dead Space as well as Fallout New Vegas. Dead Space kind of got put on the shelf for now. New Vegas, I believe I'm fairly close to beating. I just made it to New Vegas, and I'm at that part in the story. So for those of you who have played through it, you should be able to gauge up where I'm at.
I remember you were talking to me about playing New Vegas. I still have an unopened copy for the PS3 sitting, you know, on my shelf at home. And one of these days, I will get around to popping it in. And it looks like you kind of lost your momentum with the game. You were playing that every day for hours for a while. And then you started to play Sweep Squad and just got sucked into that instead.
Yeah.
So maybe when you end up getting around to playing New Vegas again, I'll go ahead and I'll be getting on that too, and we'll just have a jolly old time.
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. I also started playing through The Legend of Zelda Phantom Hourglass, and I got to a point in that game where I don't know what the hell to do, and it's like this for all Zelda, for all Zelda games with me. When I get to a point, I shut the game down, I come back to it a couple days later, and I completely forget where the hell I am and where the hell I'm going. And this isn't the worst thing to happen to me on Kirby, or on Zelda.
It's always the worst.
Yeah. So hopefully I get back into that and get that going. Anyways, if any of you are interested in my full review I did on Squeak Squad, you can find it on my blog, insidethemindabub.wordpress.com. I went into a pretty in-depth review of the game there, so feel free to give that a read.
And I read that, and did you know that Kirby can change colors?
See, that's one of the really cool, unique features of this game, is that you can actually spray paint your Kirby different colors, which is neat. And then even play through the game as a spray painted Kirby.
Yeah, I like that a lot, actually. And it's so weird, because, you know, Kirby is pretty much just like a single color. And just changing this color is just one of those little things that they really don't have to do. But they do it, and then it makes you kind of go, oh, that's cool.
Little customized touch to the game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Very, very much enjoyed that. So.
Yeah, they came out with a Kirby game for the Wii recently that was four-player, and it looked pretty fun. And
Epic Yarn, right?
Oh no, that came out I think a year or two ago. That looked really good, like visually. No, this is, I think it's called like Kirby's Return to Dreamland
Return to Dreamland. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's four player, and you got, you know, Kirby, King Dedede, I think Meta Knight, and Waddle Dee, I think it is. And those are your four characters that you play as when you play four player.
Oh wow.
Yeah, and so, you know, I remember seeing that, and I was like, oh wow, that actually looks really fun. But I rarely ever play my Wii, and I have so many games in my backlog as it is that, you know, I'm not really going to go pick it up, you know, tomorrow or anything like that. But one of these days, that would be cool if you came over, because you are planning on moving down to Oceanside, so we can do some Kirby gaming on the Wii, maybe.
Yeah, and that actually a really nice transition into our next topic, where we're going to talk about Bub's living situation. For those of you who don't know, I used to live in Oceanside. And a good part of through elementary school and half of middle school, moved away halfway through 7th grade, moved to Lake Elsinore, and now, after 12 long years of giving Oceanside a break, I'm coming back next week. It's happening.
Man.
Monday, January 30th, I begin my new job in Carlsbad as an IT product assembler, which is going to be a lot of fun, and I will be moving to Oceanside to complement that, so it's happening. Big Bub's back in town.
Well, that should be very fun. And there's the possibility that you're going to move in with me, at least temporarily, for about, you know, a week or two, if you can't find a place in time.
Yeah. Either way, I'm moving out this weekend, no matter where it is, so I guess I got to start packing.
Yeah. Dang, that would be pretty crazy, because we haven't really done any, you know, co-op console gaming, and I don't even know how long. Probably since the days back of when we played PSO on the GameCube.
PSO and Crystal Chronicles back then.
Ooh, God, that was a good game.
Yes, it was. So, yeah, so that should be a lot of fun. We're going to start being able to do the podcast in the same room together, so we don't have to do this over the headset thing.
We can hold hands and look at each other.
Yeah.
All that nice romantic stuff.
Anyways. So yeah, that's happening. Which, that'll be fun. So expect me. I do not forgive, I do not forget.
Oh God, I know. Just like how I didn't let you in. You won't let me alone. You won't leave me alone about it.
I know. Anyways, alright, so next topic, we're going to be touching on the PlayStation Vita. Set to launch February
22nd?
Yes, 22nd.
Unless you get the first edition bundle, then you get it on the 15th.
Yeah, but who wants to get that?
Exactly.
Not me.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of it either. It's the 3G model, which I don't want. And Little Deviance actually looks like it could be pretty good, because it it utilizes all of the Vita's features, like augmented reality and, you know, the motion control and all that stuff. So that could end up being a pretty good game, but the fact is, it's the 3G model, so no thanks.
Yeah, it wouldn't be fun.
Yeah. So, I mean, they ended up releasing the price plans for the 3G model about a week or two ago, and it's a little steep, you know? It was like $15 for, I think, 250 megabytes, and $26 for 2 gigabytes.
Yeah?
I believe those are the two options that you had. And I don't know. It's too much for me. I can't really see even 2 gigabytes lasting that long.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
So, I mean, I don't have a smartphone. You do. So you probably have a better idea when it comes to how long you can make 2 gigabytes last.
I know, because I have the unlimited plan, so I never even really check.
See, that would be great. Are you kidding me? How many more people would actually want the 3G model if there was just one option of unlimited plan?
Well, yeah. I mean, that's what Davey was saying. He was saying, hey, you know what? If you want to, you know, like, say for the month of April, you want to enable your wireless internet, go down, pay, like, $20 to activate a whole, like, 30 days of unlimited access. And people would actually do it. I'd buy a 3G model for that. I know you would. Davey would.
Yep.
So, you know.
I feel like just give it some time, because when the 3G model doesn't sell, which many people on the internet are saying they're not getting the 3G model, then I feel like Sony is probably going to have to, you know, start talking with AT&T and saying, hey, listen, you know, this product's not selling, and, you know, we need to come up with some other options, because they're just, you know, the customer is not liking what we're giving them.
Yeah, that's supposed to be about the customer, so.
Yeah, but for now, I'm getting Wi-Fi, you're getting Wi-Fi, Davey's getting Wi-Fi, I'm pretty sure Daniel's getting Wi-Fi. Pretty much everyone that we know who's getting a Vita is getting the Wi-Fi model.
Yeah.
And I think we're all planning on getting different games. I know some of us are still a little iffy when it comes to what to pick, which is so weird, because usually, you know, like when the DS came out and the 3DS came out, and even the PSP, you know, the launch lineups weren't super spectacular. It was pretty much, okay, there's this, there's that, you know, like, which of the two decent titles are you going to choose from? But yeah, the Vita has a shit ton. You got Ultimate Marvel vs. Capcom 3. You have Uncharted Golden Abyss. You have Wipeout 2048. You have
Mod Nation Racers.
Mod Nation Racers.
That one's Square Enix game. It's like Pikmin. Yeah,
yes, that one looks really good. You have Little Deviants, which is like a bunch of different little, you know, games into one.
That Calamari game.
Yeah, you say Calamari?
That is what I said.
Calamari. You have, I think it's called Escape Plan, which looks pretty good. Yeah, so you just have a whole bunch of stuff, and that I feel like is only like a half of the list, maybe.
Yeah.
So many different choices to make. Then you have the memory stick. You know, how much money are you willing to spend for the long-term investment? You know, of course, everyone would like to have the 32 gigabyte stick, but who really wants to drop, you know, 100 plus bones on a friggin' memory stick, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's just not worth it.
For a memory stick.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me about some sort of accessory kit that you were debating about.
Oh, yeah, I believe it's like a $30, I think it's, yeah, $30 accessory kit. Comes with a memory card, a case, screen protectors, headphones, a cleaning cloth, and I think that's it.
Are you sure it's only 30? I thought it was 50.
No, it's $30, man.
Wow, that's really good.
Or maybe it was 50. I don't know. God, I don't remember.
Okay, well, if it's 30, then that's a really freaking good deal. If it's 50, then that's probably still a pretty decent deal. If you want a 4 gigabyte stick and you're fine with that, then definitely go with that.
Yeah.
Sounds pretty solid.
No, I'm sorry. The starter kit, I pulled it up right here. The starter kit with memory card is $40.
Oh, so right in the middle.
Yeah.
Well, then I don't know what to say about it.
It's kind of one of those things like, yeah, I mean, if you want headphones, a case, a cleaning cloth, and screen protectors, and a memory card, then it's a good deal. Because if you break those down separately, you're going to pay a lot more than $40.
Yeah, I mean, who doesn't really want a nice case for it, and who doesn't want screen protectors? Because from what I've read, the Vita loves collecting fingerprints with those touchscreens.
Does it really?
Yeah, like it, because of the material that the screens are made out of, it's very prone to noticeable, you know, thumbprints and stuff like that.
And being a touchscreen doesn't help.
Mm-hmm. So I, for one, which you know how I am when it comes to touchscreen stuff, I'm very clean, and you know, the thought of seeing a friggin', you know, fingerprint on my Vita screen, that's enough to make me want to, you know, poop my pants. I don't like the idea of that at all. So I probably will definitely get the screen protector.
Yeah.
So it's the way to go.
Yeah. So is it time, kid?
Time for what?
Time for me to get a little angry?
Do you mean what I think you mean?
I think I do.
Is it time to be raging with Bub?
It's time for Raging with Bub! And after we make our improvements, this is about where some really epic, like, music would come in. Raging with Bub, because I'm raging with Bub.
Ooh, or we could just have, like, really, like, crazy explosion sound effect play. Like, it's time to
rage with Bub. Why don't we do explosions with rock? Like, there you go, see? We're working on it.
Yeah. Man, ooh, the possibilities.
Yeah.
All right, man. So I think it's time to ask you then. You are a very angry person in life. Almost every time I talk with you, you're always going, fuck this, fuck that. Oh, I just noticed, those with sensitive ears, you've been warned.
Yeah.
So you're always saying, fuck this, fuck that. I'm so pissed. Oh, I hate this, I hate that. Very angry dude. So what has been getting you angry over these past several days? Like, what's just been making you want to rage?
All right, I think first of all, the thing that's really pissing me off is that you have got to get down the line right. The line is, Bub, what's got you raging today? That's what you got to say from now on when we're raging with Bub.
Bub, what's got you raging today? So we're going to do it today and not a, okay.
What?
Huh?
I'm really confused, but anyways, what's got me raging today, and it just happened to me today, is the way people fucking drive in the rain. Holy shit. They act as if a herd of newborn babies is crossing the road all at once. They are driving as if there is glass on the road, and they have to go extra slow as to not puncture their tires. Holy shit, what are you doing? Your tires are made to withstand water, so that when you're driving, you know, you don't hydroplane. Now, I understand you don't want to be going 80 miles an hour on city streets while it's raining. Yes, you need to caution your driving a little bit. But the way most of these fucking people out there caution their driving, it's just absolutely ridiculous. They're almost causing more harm than they are good. Because I'm tooting along, doing the speed limit. Because it's not even...
Sure you are.
No, it's not even pouring rain. It's just sprinkling. And all of a sudden, oh shit! Someone's at a fucking, almost at a complete stop driving, and I almost plowing in the back of them. You know? And it's like, what the fuck do you think you're doing, you dumb shit? I mean, I was even... I was on the phone with you earlier today, and you heard me scream at that one guy.
I did. Yeah, I don't know. I definitely feel your pain on that one.
I mean, I'm pretty sure this guy probably normally drives like a complete asshole anyways, any day, no matter what the fucking weather condition is. But today, since it was raining, he got extra fucking stupid. So it just really made me fucking angry. It's been bugging me for years, the way people drive when it's raining. It feels good to finally get it off my chest and out for the world. So today, and this was kind of a light one because Justin can back me up. When I want to rage, I can really rage. This is just a light one for the first episode with this. So that is what's got me raging today.
Oh God, yeah, and it's just it's such a pain. It's such a pain in the ass when so people just randomly cut you off. Even when it's not raining, you know, like you're just going and they're going really fast, and then they decide to get in your lane. And then for some reason, they just decide to, you know, cut back about 10 miles per hour.
Yeah.
And then you're just kind of sitting there thinking, what the fuck was the point of you getting in my lane just to slow down and, you know, keep me back from going where the fuck I'm going?
I know. Like, what gives you the right to cut in front of me and just slow down? what are you doing? Or here's an even better one. You're driving along the street, okay? And someone's on a side street waiting to turn out, you know, and go the same way you are. You've got no one behind you for miles to go. And this guy says, okay, I'm just going to pull out in front of you and go but well below the speed limit. It's like, dude, if you would have waited an extra 2 seconds, you could have gone behind me. I could have kept going my speed. You could have kept going your speed. Everyone's happy. But no, I'm going to go out in front of you and go 10 miles below the speed limit, even though it's a nice sunny day out. Fuck you, Rob.
And what's great is that everyone is listening to this right now and saying, yes, yes, I know that.
I know your pain. Yep.
Yep. James. Oh, God.
That was...
Yeah, man. Oh.
Yeah, it's definitely very fun to drive with you because I don't have very much road rage when I drive. I'm extremely passive. You know, I'll just kind of go, when someone gets in front of me or cuts me off or something like that. But you know... You just start flipping the finger, you drop the F-bombs, just go fuck this, fuck that, fuck you. It's fun. It's fun. To me, as a passenger, it's very fun.
I think I do it more so when I have passengers, because when I'm driving
entertaining.
Myself, it's not as fun to just scream at people. It makes me seem like some kind of crazy lunatic.
Oh, God, just like the honk and wave game. I would never do that by myself.
Oh, no. The honk and wave, you never play by yourself.
Oh, honk God. Wave
is always with... two or more people in the car.
Okay, I'm going to let you explain honk and wave because you were the one who told me about it, so I feel like you should be the one to tell the listeners the joys of this amazing game called honk and wave.
Everyone's going to think it's really fucking stupid just from the way I describe it, but
okay.
Try it, and it is really fun.
Yes, yes, yes. When he first told me about this, I looked at him and said, no, there's no way that I'm just going to randomly, you know, just wave at these random people. I don't know who they are. I'm not going to wave at them. Like, they're going to think we're complete idiots.
Yep.
But when you do it and you pop that honk and wave cherry, it is so fun, and you will instantly have a smile on your face and start laughing.
So basically what you do is you're driving along in your car, you and your buddy. You see someone on the side of the road jogging. You just beep, beep, honk the horn, and wave at them. Just a nice friendly wave, big smile on your face. And most of the time, they will look at you and wave back. And they're probably thinking, who the hell is that? Do I know that guy? Who
yep.
is that? And it's funner than hell, and that's how you win honk and wave. The only time you lose is if you honk, wave, and the person just looks at you and doesn't do anything.
Or gives you the finger.
No, that's also winning. Is if someone flips you off, that's even better, even better than a wave.
Oh, man.
So give it a try sometime while you're out driving around with your friend. It's a lot of fun, especially when two people are just waving their arms out the window at you. And think of it this way, the worst you can do is make someone's day better.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, who doesn't like getting waved at?
Exactly.
Well, I'm sure there are some people, but I enjoy getting a good wave.
I enjoy it, too. All right, well, that about wraps it up for episode 2 of the official podcast. This is Bub.
And Jethro.
Signing out. Have a nice night, everyone.